Let's open our Bibles this morning, if you would, please, to the book of Titus in chapter 3 once again. Book of Titus in chapter 3. Over the past weeks, we have been going through this book, and we have seen how that Titus has been commanded, instructed by the Apostle Paul, that he should be faithfully preaching sound doctrine. Faithfully preaching sound doctrine. And we learned that the purpose for the preaching of sound doctrine was so that each group of people within the church might be growing in the Lord, as they should. So that each group of people in the church might be more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that each person in the church might not only be growing in themselves, but then they might be investing their lives in others and helping other people to grow. In other words, not only growing yourself, but becoming involved in the work of the ministry yourself. And that ought to be the goal of every member of Heritage Baptist Church. Not just a member, but a messenger, a minister. One who is involved in the work of the church. And so because each of these points is vital to the health and the growth of the church, each of those is vital to the health and growth of the church, therefore the Apostle Paul commanded Timothy in Titus chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." In other words, I want you to be constantly preaching this. I want you to be constantly declaring this, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And then he gives the reason why this is so important. And the reason why it's so important, notice the last part of verse 8. These things are good, and they're profitable unto you. And notice here that when we are involved in sound doctrine, not only learning it, but sharing it with other people, it's good for us, first of all. If for no other reason, every member of our church ought to be involved in ministry for a selfish reason. Because one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? And so it's good for us that we be reminded of being involved in these good works of ministering to others. But not only is it good for us, it's good for others as well. It's good for others as well because by our life, by our testimony, we draw other people to the attractiveness of our Savior. We draw other people to put their faith and trust in Him. In fact, that's the very thing the Lord Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, when He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." But then in our study together last time, we saw the Apostle Paul, if you will remember last week, we saw the Apostle Paul warning his son Titus about some pitfalls. He warned him about some pitfalls that need to be carefully avoided. And we learned that while he was faithfully declaring sound doctrine, Titus needed to be very careful that he might avoid, first of all, foolish questions. That he might avoid the foolish questions. In other words, these are questions that are, they're not based on sound doctrine. Rather, they are questions based on man's fables, or man's wisdom, or man's thinking, or man's ideas. And so Paul told, don't get caught up with that. You avoid these foolish questions. And then he also instructed Titus to be careful that he avoid endless genealogies. Avoid endless genealogies. In other words, avoid dealing with the questions about where you came from. You remember the Jews took great pride, we saw, in the fact that they were the seed of Abraham. And because they had that link to Abraham, they thought that they were spiritual. And a lot of people today have the idea because they're linked to a certain church, or they're linked to a certain pastor, or they're linked to a certain ministry, that somehow that makes them more spiritual than anybody else. Paul said, Titus, don't get caught up in that foolishness. You stay away from these endless genealogies. And then he said, avoid useless contentions. That's simply silly debates, silly conflicts, silly arguments that mean nothing and prove nothing. And so Paul said, Titus, you stay away from that. And then he also told Titus to avoid lawful strivings. In other words, simply arguing about who's keeping the law the best. Who is it that is the most spiritual? Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in that. And the reason Titus was told to avoid all of these things, the reason he was to avoid these things, very clearly stated for us, notice the last part of verse 9, for they are unprofitable and they're vain. You just stay away from it. They are unprofitable and they're vain. In other words, we will never accomplish anything if we get caught up in all of those things. The only thing we will accomplish is wasting time. Wasting time. And that is true, because the only thing that will ever make us to become what our Savior desires us to be is when we are faithfully confronted with sound doctrine. Keeps coming back to that, doesn't it? Keeps coming back to this thing of sound doctrine. But not every minister and not every preacher, unfortunately, not every minister, not every preacher obeys these clear and simple instructions. Not every ministry follows these guidelines that the Apostle Paul has given to us. In fact, there are some. There are some who build their entire ministry around the very things that the faithful man of God is instructed to avoid. There are some who build their whole ministry around these things that Paul told Titus, you stay away from that. You don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in that. And so today I want us to notice not only do we find the pitfalls that need to be avoided, but today the Apostle Paul is going to show us that there's some people we need to avoid. There's some people that we need to avoid. And there are four things that I want us to notice in the next couple of verses as we go through this together. First of all, I want us to notice when it comes to these people to be avoided, I want you to notice who they are. Notice the people identified. The people identified. In verse number 10 of chapter 3, a man that is an heretic. A man that is an heretic. Now, the Greek word that is translated heretic in our text, it's actually a term that speaks of a person who ignores sound doctrine. That bottom line, that's what a heretic is. It's someone who ignores sound doctrine, and they ignore sound doctrine by doing two things. First of all, they will ignore sound doctrine by teaching errors. By teaching things that are not true. Teaching things that are contrary to the Scripture. In Acts chapter 24, verse number 15, notice what it says. It says, but this I confess unto thee. By the way, this is the Apostle Paul. He's giving his testimony. And he said, this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they, talking about the Jews, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. You see, the Jewish nation considered the teachings of Jesus Christ and the teachings of the followers of Jesus Christ. The Jewish nation believed that what we were teaching was heresy. They believed that it was a false teaching. And the same idea was held in the early church. Remember the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in, notice it, privily they're going to bring damnable heresies, denying even the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. In other words, the Apostle Peter here is simply telling us that a heretic is a false prophet. A heretic is a false teacher. And a heresy is the false doctrines that they proclaim. A heresy is the false teachings that they give. And so we need to understand that this word heretic, it's talking about those who are teaching, introducing things that are totally contrary to sound doctrine. But then I want you to notice that the word is also used to speak of those who are inciting divisions. Use of those who are inciting divisions. Now let me just make a point here that you need to understand. Sort of a foundational idea. The natural result of teaching false doctrine will always be division. The natural result of false doctrine is always going to be divisions. In other words, when men turn away from the sound doctrine of God's Word and they begin teaching things that are contrary to sound doctrine and teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, it is always going to create divisions within the church, because there are some who will know that what they're teaching is wrong. And there are others who are so gullible, they'll believe anything. And so that's going to create divisions within the church. We understand that. We understand that. But we also need to understand that there are two other types of heretics who cause division. There are two other types of heretics that cause division. First of all, there are those who love their position more than Christ. Notice it in 3 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. John says, "I wrote unto the church." But Diotrephes, notice it, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, received us not. Diotrephes was a man who loved power. He loved the position of leadership. And so he refused, because of his love for power, his love for position, he refused to acknowledge the Apostle John's authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He refused to acknowledge it. He refused to accept the letter that the Apostle John had written to him. And because of his arrogance and because of his pride, Diotrephes berated and he slandered the Apostle John with, notice 1 John or 3 John chapter 1 verse 10, slandered him with malicious words. Slandered him with malicious words. Refused to accept any other minister. Not only did he reject John, he rejected anybody who came along. He refused to accept any other minister. And if anyone in his church did accept another minister, then he would have them kicked out of the church. 3 John chapter 1 verse 10. Read it for yourself. Be kind of like we had missionary from Bangladesh with us during our mission conference, Brother Jun Manuel. And he came to me after the service on a couple of occasions when he was with me, and he said, "Pastor, somebody gave me this envelope." And I said, "Well, who was it? I want their name. I want to know why they didn't give me an envelope." No, I really didn't do that. Pastor Ming Fai did it, but I didn't do that, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I said, "Man, praise the Lord." See? I'm not jealous of that. Praise the Lord. You were willing to have a part in His ministry. Thank God for that. But see, Diotrephes, he loved the position. He loved the power. And if anybody in his church did anything for any other, we'll kick you out. See? We'll kick you out. They love their position more than Christ. There are some heretics who also love their power more than Christ. In fact, that was the problem the Apostle Paul was dealing with in the church at Corinth. You go back and you look at the church at Corinth, you find that it was divided. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, it was divided, and you had your different little cliques, you had your different little groups in the church, and each one had their favorite preacher, right? Each one had their favorite pastor. But there were also some false teachers who had come into the church. And because those false teachers loved their power more than they loved the people that God had, that they were to be ministering to, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 11, verse 18, verse 19, he said, "I hear that there be divisions among you." I hear there's some divisions. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, notice this very carefully. You see, there were divisions in the church. The reason for the divisions was that the heresies were being taught by those men who opposed sound doctrine. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, he said this. He said, such offenses must come. That's exactly what Paul said. Such offenses must come, and God permits them. God permits them. That those who are approved, in other words, those who are standing true to sound doctrine, may be set in view and appear faithful by their constant adherence to the truths and the ways of God. So a heretic is an opinionated person. A heretic is a strong-willed person who loves to stir up divisions by focusing their ministry not on sound doctrine, but they want to focus their ministry on those foolish questions we saw last time. They want to focus their ministry on the endless genealogies and the useless contentions and the lawful strife. They want to focus their ministries on all of those things, and they ignore sound doctrine. That's a heretic. Now I want you to notice the second thing that we find here. Not only do we see the people identified, notice the response required. The response that is required. How do we respond to these people who ignore sound doctrine and they bring in all of these other ideas and they cause divisions? How do we respond to that? The point that we're going to see here is that we ought to have the same attitude toward the heretics that David expressed. There in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 119, verse 63, here's what he said. He said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. That's the statement. You want to know who my friends are? You want to know who I associate with? You want to know who my companions are? My companions are those who fear God and they live according to the Word of God. That's the ones I hang around. The unspoken part of that, the understood part is all of those who do not fear God, all of those who do not walk according to the Word, I don't have anything to do with them. I don't have anything to do with them. In other words, David would not be the companion of those who rejected or polluted sound doctrine. Rather, David determined that he would be with friend with those who stood for sound doctrine. That was the point that he was making. And so from David's example, we learn that we should have nothing to do with those who teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. We shouldn't have anything to do with them. Shouldn't have anything to do with them because they cause divisions in the church. They cause divisions in the church. But why is that so important? Why is that so important? Well, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to verse 19, we find a list of seven things that God hates. There's seven things that God hates. Now, if God hates something, you do not want to be the friend of that. Right? Well, thank you. Yeah, you don't want to be the friend of something that God says, I hate that. If God hates it, we better hate it. Right? We better take a stand against that. Because if we stand for something God hates, then we are making ourselves to be the enemy of God. And so God gives a list of seven things that He hates. And one of the things that is mentioned, there it is, he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates that. God hates that. And so therefore, if we stand in friendship If we stand in friendship with those heretics who are causing divisions by undermining sound doctrine, then we're taking a stand in favor of something God hates. And we're putting ourselves in opposition with God. That's why the Apostle Paul said, look at this, Romans 16:17, I beseech you, brethren. Now that's a strong word, simply means I beg you. I plead with you, brethren. I plead with you, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's not hard to understand, is it? You know what it means? Simply means stay away from them. Stay away from them. Don't get involved with them. You mark those who are causing divisions, those who are walking contrary to sound doctrine. Don't be involved. Don't be involved with them. You avoid them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says pretty much the same thing. Notice what he said. He said, if any man obey not our word by this epistle. In other words, if any man is teaching something that is contrary to God's word, they are rebelling against the truth of God's word, then Paul said, you note that man. You make a note of who he is, and here's what he said. Have no company. That simply means you don't call him up for fellowship. You have no company with him. Why? Because we hate him, right? No, that's not why. No, we have no company with him so that they will be ashamed. And by their shame, they will be led to a place of repentance, and they will come back to sound doctrine. Doesn't that make sense? So therefore, the Apostle Paul told Titus, verse number 10, a man that is a heretic, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Put him out. You don't make company with him, you put him out. You reject him. Because he's raising up divisions by introducing things contrary to sound doctrine. Now I realize, right now there are some people who are thinking in their mind, well, that's not very Christian. That's not very nice. That's not very loving. That's not very kind. So let me show you this. Number three, or letter C, the response vindicated. The response vindicated. Verse number 11, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Why is it right, proper, important that we have no fellowship with those who do not stand for sound doctrine? Doesn't mean we're angry with them. Doesn't mean we're hateful to them. Just means we don't join with them. We stand separate from them. And the reason we do it, like we said before, so they might be ashamed. So that they might be drawn to see the error of their way and come back to stand on the principles of sound doctrine. But here we find three things that the heretic is guilty of. Three reasons why it's so important that we take such a strong stand. First of all, he is subverted. He is subverted. The word simply means that the heretic has become twisted. He has become warped. He's become perverted. Because even though he knows sound doctrine, he has chosen to reject it. Chosen to walk away from it. Chosen to go some other way, in some other direction. And therefore, he is one of those that the Apostle Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. We read it a minute ago, but look at it. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Subverted. Subverted. Warped. Twisted in their thinking. Not only is he subverted, but we need to stay away from the heretic because of this second thing, and that is this. He is sinning. He is sinning. Let me show you three things. First of all, he is sinning against God. He's sinning against God. They are people that the Apostle Paul had in mind when he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, he said, I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. So they're sinning against God. Not only is the heretic sinning against God, he's also sinning against himself. He's sinning against himself. In other words, he's like the false teachers the Apostle Peter mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 1 where he said they bring upon themselves swift destruction. They bring it on themselves. They're sinning against themselves by refusing to submit to sound doctrine. They're bringing God's judgment upon themselves. They sin against God. They sin against themselves. But then here's the saddest part. They sin against others. They sin against others. In other words, this person who is teaching false doctrine, he's ignoring sound doctrine. This one who is called a heretic in the Word of God, he's just like the scribes and the Pharisees that the Lord Jesus condemned when he said this. Listen to it. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 15. Ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. In other words, you go to the ends of the earth to bring somebody to your way of thinking. You go to the ends of the earth to bring somebody to your way of believing. Okay? So you compass land, sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, here's what Jesus said, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You see, that's the saddest thing about a heretic. He's sinning against God. That's terrible. He's sinning against himself. That's tragic. But he's sinning against others because he is leading multitudes away from sound doctrine and he's bringing them into a position where now there you also are going to suffer the judgments of God. They're going to suffer the judgments of God. So the heretic, we ought to avoid him. Stay away from him. Because he's subverted. He's sinning. But not only that, I want you to notice number three, he is self-condemned. He is self-condemned. In other words, he is a part of that number, most certainly, that the Lord Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and verse 23 when he said, many will say unto me in that day. This is the day of judgment that Jesus is describing. Many will say unto me in that day, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We did this in your name, Lord. We prophesied in your name, in thy name. We've cast out devils in thy name. We've done all these wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He doesn't say, well, you know, I used to know you and then you sinned, you lost your salvation, now I don't know you anymore. No, he said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The heretics basically have condemned themselves. And in the day of judgment, they're going to be cast out. simply because they refused to take a stand on the sound doctrine that could have saved their eternal soul. But they rejected it. They rejected it. Here's the message that I want you to get this morning. I realize this is kind of it's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? It's a hard one to swallow. But here's the message I want us to get. As a church, as individual members of Heritage Baptist Church and Heritage Baptist Church as a body, three things that we need to do. Three admonitions that I want to give you. Number one, we need to beware of heretics. Because let me tell you something this morning, folks. They are all around us. They're all around us. And so we need to beware of heretics. We need to beware of those who would come into our midst and seek to teach things that are contrary to sound doctrine, creating divisions by the false teachings that they hold. We need to beware of heretics. Number two, as a church, we need to rebuke the heretics, not coddle them. We need to rebuke them. We need to take a stand against them. We need to be faithful to make their errors known. And then if they will not repent in their stubbornness and in their pride, if they refuse to turn from their false ways, then we need to reject the heretics. We need to reject them. We refuse to have fellowship with them. And we refuse to provide a platform for their false teachings. Many people who are known as great preachers, many people who are held in high esteem by the quote-unquote Christian community, but there are people who will never stand in this pulpit as long as I'm pastor here. Because I will not give them a platform to teach anything contrary to sound doctrine. We cannot do that, folks. We cannot do that. The fact is simply this. You've heard it said before, but let me say it again. The fact is simply this. It does make a difference what you believe. It does make an eternal difference on what you believe. And so therefore, when it comes to spiritual leaders and when it comes to spiritual teachers, you need to make sure that the men that you are listening to and the men that you are following, you need to make sure that their doctrine is not according to the popular theology of the day. But you need to make sure that their theology is a sound doctrine that agrees with the Word of God. And the only way that you'll be able to do that is when you yourself get into the Scriptures. You listen to what they say and then you check it out. Is what they are teaching, does it agree with what God has said? And if it doesn't, that man's a heretic. And you need to stay away from him. You need to reject his teaching, not join with him. You need to take a stand with those who stand for sound doctrine. I promise you this morning, folks, I'm not mad at anybody. It may have sounded that way, but I'm really not mad at anybody. But I want to warn you about this because I love you. And I don't want to see you get caught in something that's going to bring eternal regret into your life. Beware. We have an enemy. And he's out to get us. And he's very subtle. And we need to beware of these areas that we not be deceived.